We're glad you're here today. Welcome you to Sycamore Church, our public meeting. Glad you're here today. And it is the second Sunday of our Christmas celebration. Want to make a couple of announcements. Things are going on this month. We'll kind of work our way backward through them. Remember Christmas Eve service, candlelight communion, candles, carols, communion service, 6 o'clock here, about a 30, 40-minute service. So bring your family. Just come on, however you're dressed. It'll be a great time, to invite other people to come and be a part with you. Next Sunday, we'll be doing, our kiddos are going to do their Christmas play, and we're really looking forward to that. And by the way, those of you, the young people and kids, all of our kiddos, we're going to have practice right after the service. They're going to have pizza back there for those of you who are participating in that. So make sure you attend that with Mr. Gary. Mr. Gary's not feeling well today. I hope he's going to be able to make it. But if he's not back there, someone else will be back there with you to help you today. But that's next Sunday, and please invite your friends and your neighbors to be a part of that. Now, this week is the Live Nativity, big annual event for us. And let me tell you, I've gotten several phone calls from out of town. People that are coming. I don't know how they heard about it out of town. I guess they must get the Sammamoring News out of town. How many of you saw the little ad in the Sammamoring News or the Spirit? Did you see one of the Spirit? We had one of the Spirit too. So that's Wednesday and Thursday. We need all hands on deck for those days. We'll start gathering up over here about 5 o'clock or so. We've got plenty of jobs to do. We will have you employed during that time. It'll be lighting candles. It'll be greeting people, helping with food. And by the way, we need, at this point, several things we need physical that we need for that evening. We still need a few gallon milk jugs for our luminaries out front. We're a little light on those. And we need goodies for the goodie table, because we're going to serve. Our guys are going to cook hot dogs and French fries. They'll be serving out there. We'll have the goodie table, hot chocolate, and all that on the tables. And we're handing out coloring books for the kids. There'll be a lot of people. Those of you that have been with us for a long time, you know the drill. There's going to be a lot of people that are going to come through here. And we want to impact them best we can with the good news of Jesus while they're here. So just put that on your schedule for Wednesday and Thursday night. And we need people to man the creche, so to actually be in the creche in about 20, 30-minute segments. So come on and be a part of it. Wednesday and Thursday night. Now, in your bulletin today, you have a little card there. We'd sure like to get your prayer request today. If there's something you'd like for your pastors to be praying with you about, just put it on your card today, and we'd love to pray with you during this time. You have a chance during this season of the year, like It's this time, and it's during when we celebrate the resurrection. Those two times during the year are the biggest times when we have the time to impact people's lives with the gospel. Our culture still recognizes those times. So you only have a couple of weeks. I mean, we've got two more Sundays after this one, and it's Christmas. So use the time that the Lord has entrusted you with to share the good news of Jesus with people around you. And listen to them. There are a lot of people today who have very little hope. Today we'll light the second candle of the Advent season. Advent means coming. And at this time of year, we celebrate the first coming. We remember the first coming of Jesus. And we celebrate that. Last week, we lighted the first candle, which is the candle of prophecy. And we, how many of you were able to be a prophet this week that spoke the word of God to somebody? You spoke a word of encouragement to somebody. You were the mouthpiece of the Lord this week. But today we're going to light the second candle of this Advent season. And this is the angel candle. And I want to read you one of the passages about angels, and that's what the sermon is going to be about today. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the descendants of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." And she was very perplexed at this statement, and she kept pondering what kind of salutation this was. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God, and behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He'll be great and be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he'll reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I'm a virgin?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. For this reason, the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God. Behold, even your relative Elizabeth has conceived a son in her old age, and she that was called barren is now in her sixth month. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, bondslave of the Lord, may it be done to me according to your word." And then the angel departed from her. The Christmas story, part of the Christmas story, is all about the angels, God's messengers who came bringing his message. We're going to look at all of them today. Let's pray together. Lord, we come in celebration today. We come with great joy in our hearts, thanking you for all that you have done for us and all that you're going to do. Lord, we celebrate Christmas, the coming of Jesus, the first advent of Jesus, your first coming, looking forward to your second coming, Lord. I ask you today that you'll speak to us, Lord. May we hear your word clear and plain. Lord, may we listen to your voice as you speak to each one of us who's gathered here today. Thank you, Lord, for all the needs that are here today, represented by all the people who are here. I ask you to speak to us, Lord. Lord, you have an answer to every need, and we trust you for that today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our youth are going out caroling tonight. Terry, when are y'all caroling in the neighborhood out there at your house? The 20th? Okay. All right. Is any other group planning on going out caroling? Yeah, we're going to do it in the neighborhood on the, what is that, 17th. 17th, any other group? Well, we're trying to put one together to go caroling around here. If you're interested in that, you know, put your name on the card, and we'll do that kind of close to Christmas. I'm really serious about this. Some of you looked at me with just dazed looks about this. I'm serious about this impacting people at the time when you have the chance, when they're interested, you can have a conversation about spiritual things very easily. And even if you want to do a flash mob at Oglethorpe or Savannah Mall, one of those, and just come out there and start singing. And those of you that can sing, who can set the tone as you start that for everyone else. Today we're going to talk about angels and angels in the Christmas story. If you took the angels out of the Christmas story, what would you have? You wouldn't have a Christmas story, would you? Wouldn't have it at all. Before we get into the specific passages in the Christmas story about angels, though, we'll give you a few of the characteristics of angels. I from time to time, listen to Chuck Missler, and man, he has some great insights on some of these, and several of these are just things that I'd never thought of with angels, some of their characteristics. But did you know that angels have intellect? Yes, they do. They think. They have emotions. We see that in Job 38, Luke 2. They have will. They can decide to do things. They're not limited to material bodies. They're not omnipresent. Only God is omnipresent. And for those of you who think even that Satan is omnipresent, no. When it seems like he's in more than one place, that just means his demons are at other places. There are times when angels appear in the form of men. We see that multiple times in the Old Testament. We see in the book of Hebrews where it says we have entertained angels unawares at times. How many of you we're not going to hold you to this, but think that sometime in your life that you may have entertained an angel and didn't know it. Yeah. I think there are a lot of us. That's scriptural. That's scriptural. Angels don't reproduce. Scripture says in Luke 20 that they don't die. They have physical reality. We see from 2 Kings that they engage in physical combat. Remember? There, when the Rabshakeh came up to Jerusalem and was threatening them, and during the night, the angel of the Lord came and slew almost 200,000. Many of us have entertained them unrecognized in our presence. They have a knowledge at times, a knowledge of things that's a lot more spiritual things I'm talking about, that's a lot more than mortal man, but less than God. They have a power, it seems, at times that is more than man, but less than God. We see from, if you go with the parallelism of how demons go from Ephesians 6, that there is rank and order to angels. One archangel is mentioned in the Scripture. One is named, and we see him in Jude verse 9. Do you know his name? Michael. Michael. Many things about angels. Now, some of the things that we get about angels come from pop culture. John, if you will. Get the lights for us, please.
My wife gave me this on my last birthday. I passed away. Oh, Tom Sawyer's dying now, too. You should read the new book Mark Twain's writing now. How did you happen to fall in? I didn't fall in. I jumped in to save George.
You what? To save me?
Well, I did, didn't I? You didn't go through with it, did you?
Go through with what?
Suicide. Oh, it's against the law to commit suicide around here.
Yeah, it's against the law where I come from, too.
Where do you come from? Heaven? Right away, quickly. That's why I jumped in. I knew if I were drowning, you'd try to save me. You see, you did. And that's how I saved you.
Very funny.
Your lip's bleeding, George.
Yeah. I got a bust in the jaw in answer to a prayer a little bit ago.
Oh, no, 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 George. I'm the answer to your prayer. That's why I was sent down here.
How'd you know my name?
Oh, I know all about you. I've watched you grow up from a little boy.
What are you, a mind reader or something? Well, who are you then?
Clarence Oddbody, AS2.
Oddbody. AS2, what's that AS2?
Angel, second class. Cheerio, my good man.
All right, now, some of you that are over in this ditch over here, I want to say, man, show us something like that. Look at all those lies about angels that shows in that story. And then some of you way over here have bought the whole thing hook, line, and sinker. Come on. Come on. Let's see what is in there. First of all, angels are not people that when they die, they don't go and become angels. There is something, though, we laugh about angel second class, but there is a rank to angels. So that part's true. And there you have an angel manifesting as a human being, not recognized at first by those around. And in fact, as he would later go on the walk through town, the renamed town, by the way, because George wasn't there. That's from It's a Wonderful Life. How many of you knew that? Okay, all right, okay. I actually talked to somebody this week that had never seen that movie, but we'll... Well, hey, Miss Jerry, you're sitting up here with another guy that has this movie deficient here. But they walk through town and people don't see him. So recognizable to some, not recognizable to others. The main reason why I wanted you to see that was to see how that angel, Clarence, as hokey as all that is, with the errors that it has in it, you theological anal retentives will just have to forgive me on that. Well, for all of that, you can explain that later on what I just said. For all of that, it shows the mission of God. Dispatched to intervene as a messenger in a person's life. You got it? Now, let's go to the story. We're going to be, if you have your Bible, you can go ahead and turn to Luke chapter 1. But we're going to be in at least a half a dozen passages today. And we're going to go quickly, so buckle up. Who is Jesus? Well, let's let the angels speak in the story, in the nativity, what we celebrate at this time of year. Let's let the angels speak. In answer to the question, who is Jesus? He was a person important enough to have his birth announcement done by angels at multiple times. That important. He came to bring life to this world, to bring salvation, to save this world from its sin. Let's see the story. First, in Luke 1, verse 11, angel appears to Zechariah. Zechariah was in the sanctuary when an angel of the Lord appeared, standing to the right of the incense altar. And Zechariah was overwhelmed with fear. But the angel said, "Don't be afraid, Zechariah, for God has heard your prayer, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to name him John. And you will have great joy and gladness, and many will rejoice with you at his birth, for he will be great in the eyes of the Lord. He must never touch wine or hard liquor. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before his birth, and he will persuade many Israelites to turn to the Lord their God. He will be a man with the spirit and power of Elijah, the prophet of old. He will precede the coming of the Lord, preparing the people for his arrival. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children. He will change disobedient minds to accept godly wisdom." And Zechariah said to the angel, "How can I know this will happen? I am an old man, and my wife, who is also well along in years." Then the angel says, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the very presence of God. It is He who has sent me to bring this good news." This good news. You see, Jesus was important enough that he had a forerunner who would prepare people for his arrival. Well, who gets a forerunner? Who gets one who will come before and prepare in our cultures all through the earth? People of kingly stature. People are really important who herald the coming of this person. This is Jesus. This is Yeshua. Then later on, verse 26 of that same passage in Luke, angel comes to Mary. We'll read it again. "In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village of Galilee, and a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. And Gabriel appeared to her and said, 'Greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you.' Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. 'Don't be frightened, Mary,' the angel told her, 'for God has decided to bless you. You'll become pregnant and have a son, and you're to name him Jesus. He'll be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end.' Mary asked the angel, 'How can I have a baby? I'm a virgin.' The angel replied, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby born to you will be holy, and he'll be called the Son of God. What's more, your relative Elizabeth will become pregnant in her old age. People used to say she was barren, but she's already in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God.' Mary responded, 'I am the Lord's servant. I am willing to accept whatever he wants. May everything you have said come true.' And then the angel left." In that story, he's promised, Jesus is promised to be the King of Israel. How long had they been looking for this one to come, expecting him? He is the one who would bring the impossible things to pass. And boy, you talk about living in a time of impossibility. It was in those days a great time of impossibility. As they looked around culturally, the impossibilities that surrounded them, the impossibilities that would surround the Jewish people, thinking, when is our Messiah going to come? When is God going to come and intervene? When is He going to bring the salvation He has promised? And here you have an angel announcing this to this teenage girl, Mary. Huh. She goes on a visit to see Elizabeth. she stays for a while, and I love the way the because this is how I interpret the passage in that movie, The Nativity. That they depict when she comes back to her town, she's showing then. And if you read the thing in context, you see. And then you see the rejection that would come from the people. You see in the story, just because God works in people's lives doesn't mean everybody's going to embrace it. And in fact, they don't. And they didn't then. And this was the Son of God. People that had been spoken to directly by angels, and yet no one believed them. We move on to Joseph. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 through 25. Now this is how Jesus the Messiah was born. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph, but while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant by the Holy Spirit. Joseph, her fiancé, being a just man, decided to break the engagement quietly so as not to disgrace her publicly. And as he considered this, he fell asleep. An angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. "Joseph, son of David," the angel said, "do not be afraid to go ahead with your marriage to Mary. For the child within her has been conceived by the Holy Spirit. She will have a son. You're to name him Yeshua, Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." And all this happened to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophet. "Look, the virgin will conceive a child," quoting from Isaiah. "She'll give birth to a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel," meaning God is with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord commanded him. He brought Mary home to be his wife, and she remained a virgin until her son was born, and Joseph named him Jesus. See, from that passage, he is the one who would come and forgive the sins of his people. He is the one who would be called Emmanuel, God with us. Then he came, angels came to the shepherds, Luke chapter 2, verse 7 through 12. And she gave birth to her firstborn son. And she wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the village inn. That night some shepherds were in the fields outside the village, guarding their flocks of sheep. And suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel reassured them, "Don't be afraid." He said, "I bring you good news of a great joy shall be to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born tonight in Bethlehem, the city of David. And this is how you recognize him. You'll find a baby lying in a manger, wrapped snugly in strips of cloth." You see, he's announced there as the Savior. You see how they're getting parts of the story put together as you hear the announcement, the birth announcement from the angels. We go on, Luke chapter 2, verses 13 through 15. The angels come to the shepherds again. Suddenly the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God, saying, "Glory to God in the highest, peace on earth to all men whom He favors." And when the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Come on, let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see the wonderful thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." You see, peace. He's the only one who can bring real peace to the earth. Are these things that matter today? The presence of God, peace. What are they desiring right now in the Middle East? What are we desiring in the world right now? What are we spending so much time and energy? Peace. Peace. He's the only source of true peace. He is the Lord of all. And then he came. The angel came to Joseph later in Matthew 2, verses 13 through 15. After the wise men were gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. He said, "Get up, flee to Egypt with the child and his mother." And the angel said, "Stay there until I tell you to return, because Herod is going to try to kill the child." And that night, Joseph left for Egypt with the child and Mary, his mother, and they stayed there until Herod's death. This was fulfilled. The Lord might had spoken through the prophet, "I've called my son out of Egypt." And the scripture also in the Old Testament depicts the slaying of the innocents. As all those children, those male children, 2 years and younger, would be killed there. Rachel weeping for her children there. The cry that went out as they were all destroyed. But Jesus was taken out of that. But you see, that was to fulfill what was said in the scripture. He'd be born in Bethlehem. He would come up out of Egypt and yet would be called a Nazarene. He comes out of Egypt. And finally, last passage I'll read today. He comes to Joseph again, the angel does. And when Herod died, an angel of the Lord, this is Matthew 2:19. When Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and told him, "Get up, take the child and his mother back to the land of Israel, because those who are trying to kill the child are dead." So Joseph returned immediately to Israel with Jesus and his mother. But when he learned that the new ruler was Herod's son Archelaus, he was afraid. Then another dream, he was warned to go to Galilee. So they went and lived in a town called Nazareth. Therefore, it was fulfilled what was spoken by the prophets. He will be called a Nazarene. He grew up as a real flesh and blood man. All God, all man at the same time. We light the second candle today to remember the part that the angels had in the story as they came announcing as the messengers of God. My message to you today is that you have the same calling to be a messenger of God, to be the mouthpiece, to bring the good news, to announce to the people around you that Messiah has come, that He brings hope. I want to ask you today, this seems to be a recurring theme in our culture, how many people in your life right now are absolutely hopeless? How many people have you seen that since this Christmas season has begun have dipped into a depressed mood? How many folks that are in your family, in your circle of friends, are looking to the new year with not much hope? How many are looking at their circumstances and saying, there's not much to be happy about here? I'm saying to you today, in all of those cases, the answer is not government. The answer is not money. The answer is not stuff. Because many of the people that we're talking about are okay in all those areas when it comes right down to it. But the answer is this Jesus that we're talking about today. This one who would come and save His people. He would really come into their circumstance. Now, you may be here today, and you may have relegated this stuff about Christianity as some kind of religious experience that you relegate to one day a week of your life, a period of time each week of your life. But what I'm sharing with you today is the Christ who is 24/7, who come and bring hope, who lift up those who have fallen, who forgive sin. There are people in your life right now, and it may be you. You're looking on the passage saying, man, I wish I could go back and redo that. I wish I could undo this thing that I said, this thing that I did. I wish I could live my life over. Well, you know, the Lord's not going to let you do that. But you know what He will do? He'll forgive you. And He'll make you new. Brand new. And a new life. A changed life. And He'll bring hope that no matter what the circumstance that surrounds you, you can have hope. Real hope. And real joy. You know, if your joy is in, and your hope and joy and what you is in your money, you know, that can be taken away from you. If it's in your stuff, it can be taken away from you. If it's in your surroundings, that can be taken away from you. But a real live relationship with a living God, that can never be taken away. That's something that persecution can't take away. If it could have, it would have been robbed from all the people of generations that have gone before. And right now they would be stealing that. But what does persecution do to the gospel? Spreads it. Everywhere in this earth today that Christians are being persecuted, the gospel is growing. Christians are multiplying everywhere. Everywhere on the planet where that is happening, Christianity is growing. A relationship with a true and living God. Hope. We can look at even world circumstances right now. What's going on in the Middle East? We should not be wringing our hands. We should be saying, even so come, Lord Jesus. Because we see the truths of this book are being acted out before us on a daily basis. We see it happening. His name is Yeshua. Jesus, the Son of the living God. He is the reason for the season. He has called on us to make the announcement. Will you be obedient to Him? In my quiet time this week, I was reading this passage, and I thought, wow, what a powerful word from the Lord. I was reading the last chapter of Ecclesiastes. You know, Ecclesiastes isn't exactly the most uplifting book in the Bible. But it does tell truth. But listen to this, verse 13. The conclusion, here's the conclusion of Ecclesiastes. When all has been heard, is this. Fear God and keep His commandments. Because this applies to every person. For God will bring every act to judgment, everything which is hidden, whether it's good or evil. Fear God, that is, trust God, put your faith in Him, and keep His commandments. And what is His greatest commandment? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second is likened to it, thy neighbor as thyself. If you've got the good news today, the question is, does your neighbor? That's why we do the live nativity. That's why we sing. That's why we go caroling. That's why we have these announcements. That's why we put up all the lights and put live nativity sets out on our front lawns and all that with lights and all that. All that so we can make the announcement. He is here. He has come, and He's coming again real soon. Let's bow our heads. Today, before we come to the time of prayer, we open the altar, and we invite you to come. Come and do business with God today. Come and intercede. The question is, do you have Jesus in your life? There's some of you here today who have yet to do business with the Lord. Today's the day. Today's the day. Won't you receive Him in your life? Most of us who know the Lord right now, there are people on our hearts that we love, that we care about, that have never yet received Jesus in their lives. There are others on our hearts right now who have wandered away. And they need the joy and the hope and the renewal that a relationship with Jesus can bring to their lives. Won't you pray today? Nothing is impossible with God. The angel said it. Lord, thank you for your servants, these angels, who provide a lot of wonder to us. But have announced your coming over and over again. And Lord, for all we know right now, there's one sitting in this auditorium with us that we just can't see. Lord, we want to join you today in announcing to the world that nothing is impossible. No situation is hopeless. Nobody is beyond reclamation as long as there is breath in their body. Lord, today, we're asking you. We're interceding for people who need you. We're interceding for people who are hopeless today. We're interceding today for those who need a touch from God, who need a fresh baptism of power in the lives, Lord. We're interceding for us, God. Come. Come, Lord Jesus. Come. Come, Holy Spirit. Come. That the Father, Abba, Daddy, that you may be glorified in us today. The altar's open. Come. Look this way, if you will. When somebody asks you later on today, well, what'd your pastor preach on today? Just tell them, well, he just got and read the Bible today. That's what we did today. We just read the story. And let the Holy Spirit do the preaching today. So, hope you'll go back and look at those passages. And as I send you out today, I send you out with the power of the Holy Spirit to be His messengers to to announce to people. I remind you, you have a big chance on Wednesday and Thursday of this week. We sure need your help at the live nativity. With all the things, it's going to, for us to pull this off, it's going to take all of us. Because it's a lot, there are going to be a lot of people come by, and we need a lot of help. So there's your opportunity right there before you. Need those baked goods and those jugs and your presence here Wednesday evening and Thursday.